On Thursday's front page, Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's secret stash of cash. Intelligence officials say he has billions on hand. Hot weather is hurting the coffee crop in Colombia. That's going to drive up the price of your double latte. And you must remember this. The National High School Memory Champions are defending their title. Their faculty advisor says they're countering the computer age with old-fashioned skills. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has $10 billion stashed away in banks in Tripoli. He's using the money to pay his soldiers and keep up the fight against the rebels. The money is also letting him sidestep an international freeze on the Libyan government's holdings. The freeze covers some $32 billion. The fact that Gaddafi has so much cash on hand could step up pressure on the Obama administration and European leaders. Officials had been hoping he'd be forced out quickly. National security officials met at the White House on Wednesday to talk about options for a no-flight zone over Libya. Also on Thursday's front page, a look at a kind of Italian Ellis Island. It's become a haven for immigrants from North Africa. The unrest has brought down dictators who had negotiated for billions in aid with Europe. In return, they stopped immigrants who wanted to cross the Mediterranean. Now many Europeans are worried about waves of illegal immigration. Hot weather has damaged the coffee crop in Colombia, and coffee drinkers are paying the price. The shortage of high-end Arabica coffee beans is being felt in New York supermarkets and Parisian cafes. And brands like Maxwell House, Uban, and Folgers have raised some retail prices by more than 25%. One industry group, citing climate change, says it's not too far-fetched to begin questioning the existence of specialty coffee. NPR Chief Executive Vivian Schiller resigned, apparently under pressure from the NPR board. On Tuesday, an undercover video surfaced showing an NPR fundraiser calling the Tea Party racist and saying NPR would be better off if it didn't take federal money. Times reporter Brian Stelter explains the context.
The timing couldn't have been worse for NPR. They're heading into a volatile political season where Republicans, who have always wanted to cut NPR's funding, were taking over Congress. And there they go, firing Juan Williams, a guy who also worked for Fox News, a guy who would say a lot more on Fox News, go a little farther with his politics than he would on NPR. Essentially, ever since then, NPR has been under scrutiny from Republicans. And this video, which by James O'Keefe, only heightened that scrutiny.
Times reporter Brian Stelter. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie talks tough when it comes to unions and public sector employees. It turns out some of the things he says are not true. For example, he says most government workers pay nothing for health insurance. In fact, they do. The inaccuracies are at odds with Christie's image as a straight shooter. But Montclair State University professor Bridget Harrison says so far he's been able to get the public to believe what he says. His aides deny he has an accuracy problem. Times reporter John Branch looks at a three-time champion high school team. The players from Hershey High in Pennsylvania are memory champs. They remember things. They can memorize and then recall, 120 random words in exact order. They'll be playing in the USA Memory Championships this weekend here in New York. At the Pennsylvania State Contest last month, student Kelly Coleman recalled a 227-word poem she'd just read. If you're counting, that's about three times longer than this story. Inside Thursday's Times, diamonds from a 2008 heist in Paris were found in a drainpipe. The loot the police discovered was valued at $20.6 million. It was only part of what was taken from the Harry Winston store. Nine people were eventually arrested, including the man who owns the house with the drainpipe. In Egypt, 11 people were killed as Christians and Muslims clashed in the suburbs of Cairo. Reporter Liam Stack is there.
This fighting is the first time that there's been sectarian fighting since the resignation of President Mubarak on February 11th. And it really poses a challenge to the military, which has not had to face these issues before. Against that backdrop, the sense of anger and real grievance that many Christians feel towards both the former regime and the Muslim majority has the potential to really lead to further instability and possibly violence in the future. The Muslim and Christian communities in Egypt have a very long history of tension, and flare-ups and eruptions like this are not uncommon. Now, one thing that the Christians are upset about is that there have been a number of very dramatic acts of violence against the Christian community. The wild card here is that Egypt is in a place of real kind of political instability.
Reporter Liam Stack. In this country, Illinois became the 16th state to ban capital punishment. Governor Patrick Quinn signed a bill the state legislature had passed in January, soon after he was sworn into his first full term. During the campaign, Quinn said he supported the death penalty when it's applied, quoting here, carefully and fairly. In signing the ban, he said he'd become concerned Illinois might execute someone who's innocent. New Jersey nearly auctioned off confidential information. A scheduled sale of used state computer equipment was canceled. It turned out most of the hard drives still contained confidential data. There were files on abused children, employee evaluations, even tax returns. Thursday's Times has details on a departure on Broadway. The director of the troubled musical Spider-Man is stepping aside. That's what the lead producer reportedly told at least two investors. Director Julie Taymor is in the midst of negotiations to leave the show. Spider-Man is now the most expensive production in Broadway history. It's been in previews. It was supposed to open next week, but that's been delayed. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.